from District Number 5 in the great state of Ohio. It's Congressman Bob Latta with us. Congressman, how are you, my friend?
Excellent. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you joining us back on the show again. It's always good to talk to you. Now you're back in session, back in Washington, D.C. Is there any type of productivity getting done right now? Is it just the squabbling before election time? How's it looking, D.C. right now?
Well, I tell you, I think the American people are just going to see the Democrats doing a lot of stonewalling and politicking. We're not really going to see very much done. They want to try to move a very short-term continuing resolution to keep the government funded until about December the 18th. But that'll be about the only thing of consequence. And a lot of these other things that they're putting out, like condemning the use of the word, you know, the China pandemic, they don't like that, even though the Chinese communists didn't tell the rest of the world what was going on, let it spread. They went out and bought the personal protection equipment and everything else, and you know, didn't alert anybody. So this is the kind of craziness that we're looking at for the next couple of weeks here.
Wow. It's sad that we don't want to really address the serious issue here. I mean, there's still businesses shutting down. I mean, we're getting better. The unemployment rate's slowly getting better. We're slowly beginning to open up in different states across the nation. But we're still struggling right now. And to try and do a continuing resolution for the budget, to not really focus on some type of proper care or stimulus or second round of stimulus checks or something for this whole virus is a serious issue, but yet we can't come to an agreement on actually taking care of businesses and small individuals. I don't understand this.
Well, it's really important because during the what we had of the August work period, I was going across my 14 counties, and again, in Northwest, West Central Ohio, I have 60,000 manufacturing jobs, more than that before the pandemic struck, and I also represent the largest farm income producing district in the state of Ohio. And, you know, in the last several weeks, you know, I've been going through my counties and going to businesses that received the Paycheck Protection Program help to make sure that they keep their employees on. And it's been a great success. And in fact, what I'm seeing across my district is I have my 14 counties. I have in the last month had three of my counties back in the 5% range of unemployment. And what they're all saying is we can't find people to work because when the Democrats had pushed that extra up to $600 per week on top of the unemployment that they were receiving, according to a number I saw coming out of the Senate, that meant that 68% of the people receiving that were making more money on that than they were at work. And so it's really getting people back to work, making sure our schools are open safely, and we want to make sure, you know, we get life going, and we also want to make sure that we get a vaccine out there. And the Democrats are playing politics with that now, with, you know, well, maybe we should, you know, they can't trust the president when we're doing this, you know. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If, heaven forbid, Joe Biden wins in November, the next day everything's going to look great.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure everything's going to look great there. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that with the vaccine, because I've heard rumors that President Trump was working on a vaccine, that we could potentially see one near election season time, about November, December-ish. The CDC had come out as well and said that it might be a little bit longer. And now people are saying that they're not very trustworthy of a vaccine because they're afraid that, well, number one, the FDA may pass it without the prior security measures or safety measures. And number two, a lot of people just don't want to take it anyways because they don't want to be mandated to take a vaccine once we do get one. So where are we with a vaccine right now? And do you think we're going to have one out here in the somewhat near future?
Well, serving on the Energy and Commerce Committee, we have the broadest jurisdiction of any committee in Congress. And so we also have health underneath of us. And it's a couple of months ago that we did have NIH, CDC, FDA, and the HHS testifying before us. I know it was Dr. Fauci that said that you know, he was extremely confident that there would be almost, you know, a slam dunk we'd have a vaccine first quarter of next year, and he was very confident that that would be even before that into the fourth quarter of this year. And I've also been in meetings and also had the Surgeon General on a call with my health professionals in Northwest Ohio a couple weeks ago. And, you know, he's even talking that we could have something by the end of November. So, but, you know, I don't think you're going to see anything that people would be mandated to do it. It'd be like, you know, pretty much like, you know, people are asked to go out and get a flu vaccine every year. But that's not mandated. But I think that, you know, once it's out there, and again, I think that people have to remember that we have multiple pharmaceutical companies out there are all working with, you know, the government agencies to come up with a vaccine. So you're probably going to see multiple types of vaccines, maybe for people over the, you know, senior citizens or people that might be younger. And you'll have this vaccine, or different vaccines out there. And but, you know, the big thing is once people, in my opinion, they some people start getting vaccinated, they're going to feel a lot more confident again about, you know, opening back, fully opening up. Because I worry about, like, our poor restaurant owners out there. Yeah. You know, I don't know how these people are going to survive by not having people able to either come in or have very limited seating in their restaurants.
Yeah, that's going to be very tough. And I know the restaurants are struggling. The bars and nightclubs have been struggling because those have been a target for sure to try and keep locked down during this pandemic. We're talking with Congressman Bob Latta from the 5th Congressional District of Ohio. Let's talk about agriculture for a second. As you mentioned, you have a large ag industry in your district. And I know the Mid-America region here, I know you guys are starting some of your fall harvesting when it comes to corn, soybeans, that sort of thing as well. Trade-wise right now, how are we looking at during the pandemic? I know that we set a deal with China to try and buy some more. And I know soybeans have been going up with purchases from China. But commodity prices, and while farmers are struggling during COVID-19, is it helping going into fall season and the harvest season, and are the commodity prices high enough that we might be able to sustain some of these farmers for a while?
Well, you know, one of the things that you know, the Democrats also don't like to mention is, you know, the president said that if elected back in 2016, he'd do something about NAFTA. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have the USMCA out there now to make sure that we could open up our markets into Canada, into Mexico, and when you look at the amount of pork and also poultry that cross our borders, it's incredible. Same way with dairy. And so for those farmers, we want to make sure that it's just with our closest trading partners that we do have those markets open. With China, 55% of Chinese beans come from Brazil, 33% from the United States, and we want to make sure that, you know, we retain the number that we have and even increase it. And, you know, the president also said that he wanted, you know, to have better trade deals for Americans. And, you know, one of the things that we've been seeing is in past administration that President Obama didn't play hardball with the Chinese, and it pretty much they decided, well, they could do anything they wanted.
Yeah.
So we have to make sure that our goods can flow. You know, we also want to make sure that we have the security out there. Cybersecurity is a huge issue. You know, when we look at Huawei and other Chinese companies out there that are on the telecommunications side, again, on energy and commerce, we have passed legislation signed into law for what they call rip and replace for our smaller telecoms out there and internet providers, because, you know, we don't want the Chinese to be able to take over our telecommunications system. And I mean that just not just selling it to us, but bad things could be, and they could put in those with chips and things like that. So the cyber area is huge. And so, you know, the president's been out there. He's negotiated with a good number of countries. And I think we're going to see good action from it. Just like with the signing yesterday with Bahrain and the UAE with Israel at the White House, you know.
Yeah.
President's reducing tensions in the Middle East, gets no credit for it. And just look what he's been able to do in 4 years. And he said that, you know, this is the type of agreement that he wants to bring forward to make sure that other countries in the Middle East sign agreements with Israel. You know, it's amazing to see an Israeli airliner land at the UAE, I believe it was the other day. And the country that's really concerned about is Iran, because they're the largest sponsor of state terrorism in the world, and their sworn oath is to destroy Israel. And the last thing we want to see is all these Arab countries now signing agreements, peace treaties with Israel.
Yeah, it seems to be doing very well, and President Trump is, I mean, such a huge hand in that. I'm sure that I know Israel's very appreciative of that. We've talked to some individuals over there, and it's really cool to see how he's been able to do some of these landmark deals. And again, something that Barack Obama and the Democrats said that would never be able to happen, especially under their administration. Last question before we got to let you go. I know that you're busy, and we're running short on time here, but I saw the news about President Trump signing an executive order trying to lower the drug prescription prices in the country as well. That just happened. You're about ready to introduce a bill coming up this week as well with the TREAT Act, talking about the reciprocity to ensure access to treatment in the healthcare industry. Talk about what that bill is going to do and what's going to happen.
Well, it's really important because as we, again, I've worked on rural broadband, expanding it across the country. I had the Broadband Mapping Act to make sure we have accurate maps out there for the FCC to know for the areas of the country that don't have access to broadband. But what we did see is when the pandemic started that there was such a massive uptick in the use of telehealth. But, you know, it was wonderful to see that doctors could see patients, you know, immediately, you know, right from their homes. They didn't have to go out. But the problem we were running into is that we had docs out there in other states that said that they'd like to help maybe in some other areas that didn't have the docs. And the problem is because of licensure that we have across in each state, it prevented them from doing it. So what the TREAT Act does is make sure that medical professionals can treat individuals across state lines through telehealth. You know, these people still have to make sure they maintain all their licenses and things like that, but this would be during a pandemic to make sure that they can do it. Because, again, we saw a massive use of telehealth, which really showed that where healthcare is moving to, and we have to have it in times like this.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I wanted to ask you that because actually my wife's used that a few times as well, being able to call up and do a virtual conversation with a doctor, get the prescriptions that she needed if she wasn't feeling well, that sort of thing. Is that the way that healthcare is going in today's times, and does that open up an opportunity to start reforming the ways that maybe health insurance is going to be looked at when it comes to trying to get covered for doctors to be able to see you or to be able to get certain treatments? It's going to be more streamlined and maybe a little bit cheaper down the road for different options for individuals as well.
Well, you know, one thing that the president did through Health and Human Services early on is to make sure that on the reimbursement side, like with Medicare, was really important. And I think that you will see it because, again, when you're talking about, you know, how everything's changing, bricks and mortar, you name it, that all of a sudden if you can see a doctor online and, you know, smartphones will be able to, I've been in meetings, again, through with the committee, that showed how you can use your smartphone to do all kinds of diagnostic tests on yourself.
Yeah.
And those can be then transmitted to the doctor instantaneously. So what we saw happen in the first 3 to 5 weeks of the pandemic, in some cases I talked with you, whatever profession it was or industry across the country, they all said the same thing. What we did in 3 to 5 weeks, we're thinking about doing in 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
And that's how much things have been pushed forward.
I love it. I love it. Last question before we let you go, Congressman Bob Latta, but going into the election season, I know it's tough right now having a Democrat majority in the House, having Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, but going into the election, are you confident that we could take over and have a Republican majority again in the House so that way, come the next couple of years, we actually have opportunities to really get some of this stuff through a lot easier and actually make things a little bit easier for the president as well, hopefully if we maintain President Trump?
Well, you know, we won a special election for the first time in California since 1988 recently, and we picked up a seat from the Democrats. And when you look at the 18 seats that we lost by losing the majority across the country in the last election cycle, it was just a little over 100,000 votes total. And there's been a great recruiting class out there, and they're working hard. And I'm very confident if people, you know, get out and vote that we will take over the House and not have Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker.
Boy, wouldn't that be so nice. I love it. Congressman Bob Latta from the 5th Congressional District, we always appreciate the time, my friend. Keep up the fight in Washington, D.C., and we'll look forward to chatting with you again here real soon.
Hey, thanks very much. Have a wonderful day.